for you, not for me.
Yeah. I agree.
Will the Senate please come to order? Members, please note their presence by voting. Secretary will take the roll.
The roll shows 16 senators present this morning. Senator Ziegler is excused from the call of the Senate today.
Will the Senate please rise for prayer? Joanne Pleasant of the Baha'i Faith.
Oh God, kind Lord, this gathering is turning to thee. These hearts are radiant with thy love. These minds and spirits are exhilarated by the message of thy glad tidings. Oh God, let this American democracy become glorious in spiritual degrees and render this just government victorious. Confirm this revered nation to upraise the standard of the oneness of humanity, to promulgate the most great peace, to become thereby most glorious and praiseworthy among all the nations of the world. O God, this American nation is worthy of thy favors and is deserving of thy mercy. Make it precious and near to thee through thy bounty and bestowal. Abdu'l-Bahá.
Senator Collette.
Mr. President, my apologies. I was asleep during the roll call. Senator Sumner is, I would request that the journal reflect is to be excused on official state business. He's at a meeting in Anchorage this morning. We'll be arriving later this afternoon. And Senator Sackett did call and he is ill. And I wish the journal reflect that his absence is because of illness.
Mr. President. Yes, may I ask for the briefest at ease since I have lost my folder and I can't think without it. And I hope it's on somebody's desk.
Oh, you brought it in these. Ow. Senator, please come back to order. Will the Secretary please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 60th, 61st, 62nd, and 63rd legislative days.
Senator Collette.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals for the 60th, 61st, 62nd, and 63rd legislative days be approved as certified.
Hearing no objection, the journal is certified. This brings us to introduction of guests. Does any member have a guest to introduce?
Mr. President.
Senator Sturgiolski.
I did really lose my folder, but fortunately did not lose the names of the people I would like to introduce. We have the Alaska State Hospital Association is meeting here, and a number of administrators are in town. Among those, Chris Beardsley is here, who is the Director of Public and Government Affairs for Providence Hospital. Also, Ron Pavelis, the administrator of the Alaska Hospital and Medical Center, and they're in this gallery over here. And I'd also like to introduce an old and dear friend, although he's a constituent of Senator Kelly's from Eagle River. He's been many, many years in the state and has been involved with engineering in remote parts of rural Alaska. But right now he's still active and he is president of the Chugiak Senior Citizens, Harold Abrams. Harold, where are you?
Senator Rody. Mr. President, in the gallery on the far side is a friend of mine from Fort Yukon, Mr. Jonathan Solomon.
Any further introductions? Messages from the government.
Messages of March 13. Dear Mr. President, I have signed the following bills and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Pre-conference committee substitute for House Bill number 177 relating to unemployment insurance, Chapter 9. House Bill number 248, merger of electric and telephone utilities, Chapter 10. Senate Bill number 338 amended, parking permits for disabled persons, Chapter 11. Sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. Those are the messages from the governor this morning.
Messages from the other House.
Message of March 13, the House has passed Senate Bill Number 71 amended, issuance of free permanent licenses for senior citizens with the following amendments. Second House Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 71 rules amended House, hunting, trapping, and sport fishing licenses, and transmitted for consideration.
Resources.
This is the substitute of our
House
bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't really want to concur.
Senator Colletti.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that action on the House message, namely Senate House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 71, be deferred to a later date.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 71 will be held for later action.
Message of March 13, the House has passed the following and transmitted for consideration. House Bill Number 811 by Representatives Osterbach and Zaroff, an act relating to price disputes between fishermen and fish processors and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
Those are the messages from the House this morning.
Are there any communications?
The Senate received a resolution from the state of Washington resolving that the Congress pass Bill S-1680, heretofore introduced in the Senate of the United States, which provides for the cession and conveyance to the states of federally owned, unreserved, unappropriated lands and the establishment of policy, methods, procedures, schedules, and criteria for such transfers. This resolution has been sent to the 11 western states, including Alaska, requesting that they also support this bill. That is the only communication this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 440, withdrawal of land for a utility corridor for extension of the Alaska Railroad, and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title and do pass, signed Senator Sumner, Chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Bancroft, Mulcahy, Fahrenkamp, Meeland, and Curtula. SB 440 has a further referral to finance. State Affairs Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 7858, urging Congress to appropriate money for the construction of the Dog Bay Boat Harbor, and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute with a new title and do pass, signed Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Rohde, Kelly, and Bradley. HJR 58 has no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 70, operating at Bush Airports in Alaska, and recommends do pass, signed Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Rohde, Kelly, and Bradley. HJR 70 has no further referral.
Rules.
State Affairs Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 645, amending and transferring appropriations made in 1979, and recommends do pass. Signed Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Rohde, Kelly, and Bradley. 645 has a further referral to finance. The Commerce Committee submitted on March 13 the following sunset regulations. Review of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. Review of the Board of Marine Pilots. Review of the Board of Electrical Examiners. Review of the Board of Public Accountancy. Review of the Board of Hairdressing and Beauty Culture Examiners. The Board of Barber Examiners. The Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. The Board of Welding Examiners, review of the Real Estate Commission, the Guide Licensing and Control Board, and the Collection Agency Board. These will appear in today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports today.
Are there any special committee reports?
We have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate Bill.
Senate Bill Number 523 by the Rules Committee by request, an act relating to public utilities and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
That is the only bill today.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar.
Try and stand at ease, please.
Senate, please come back to order. Madam Secretary.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 51, approving the District Coastal Management Program of the Municipality of Anchorage and the findings, conclusions, and stipulations of the Alaska Coastal Policy Council is on reconsideration.
Somebody want to call a question?
Ms. President, I believe the Chairman of Community and Regional Affairs wants to make a few comments prior to the motion for adoption.
Mr. President, just very briefly, this had been put over until today, request of Senator Ferguson for some additional information. At the time that we said it, it indicated that he wished it held till Monday, but did not was not anticipating going past that date. So I think that it's appropriate that we take up the item today, even though he is not on hand. And again, this particular plan, we have three public hearings. There's wide support. It's been accepted by all levels of the municipality of Anchorage. So I would encourage your yes vote.
Senator Fleming.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate adopt SCR 51.
Your call for question.
Question.
The question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 51 pass? The Senate members may proceed to vote. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will take the vote.
The roll shows 14 yeas, 2 nays.
And so Senate Concurrent Resolution 51 has passed the Senate on reconsideration. Brings us to the bottom of today's calendar. We're now under unfinished business. Does any member have anything on the unfinished business? Special orders.
President.
Senator Curtula.
Just a quick question of the legislation, Mr. President, if I may. Joe May from Trapper's Creek won the Iditarod, and I'm wondering if it's acceptable that a slight citation, many years he's put on that trail, and he's won it, done a great job. A slight citation, I don't mean a slight one either, I mean a citation in and a resolution of support, congratulations, if everyone's in support of that in the legislature, if there's any objections.
I think you have the authority to draft one by all members of the Senate, sir.
Thank you. Request it and hope it'll be on right away.
Senator Rodick.
Mr. President, I would request the personal privilege of the floor.
Yes, sir, you have it.
Mr. President, I was somewhat surprised and somewhat unhappy when I read in Friday's paper the comments that the chair made with regard to the lack of a quorum. Let me discuss the business that the Senate had on Friday, which was no business at all. There was no calendar. The House was recessed. Most of the leadership, with exception of the chair, was absent and away from Juneau on various portions of business. The question is, Mr. President, why in that instance should not the legislature hold hearings or the legislators meet with their constituents? If we're here just for appearance, I think we're doing something that's very wrong, Mr. President. The public expects work out of us, not appearance. Furthermore, if there is a problem with having constituent meetings or holding hearings away from the Capitol, that's the prerogative of the leadership. I didn't call the meeting that I attended. The leadership called that meeting. And if you wish that practice changed in the future, the easiest way to do it is just not to call those meetings anymore. But what I deeply resent, Mr. President, was your anger, your feigned anger, on Friday with regard to the fact that we didn't have a quorum on this floor. There were 10 people excused, and in addition, I was not excused and Senator Dankworth was not excused. Mr. President, you knew on Thursday that we weren't going to have a quorum on this floor. This is the travel request that you signed for me, Mr. President. bears your signature. I discussed the matter with you a week prior to the hearings in Anchorage on the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation. Very important hearings. Those hearings lasted for at least 6 hours on Friday, certainly a great deal more time than this body spent in session on Friday, or would have spent in, or would have been in session had there been a quorum. But what troubles me, Mr. President, is the fact that I told you that I was going to be absent, and you requested specifically that I not seek to be excused from the call of the Senate. Mr. President, I feel sandbagged. In a very proper fashion, I informed you of my wishes. If there had been a problem, all you had to do was tell me that there wouldn't be a quorum and that you'd appreciate me staying on the floor, and I would have done that, Mr. President. But when I'm told not to request an excuse and then receive criticism for that same action when I'm away from the floor, it bothers me, Mr. President. And I also think it hurts the credibility of the chair and of the Senate. I think it's a poor practice, and I hope it's not one that will be considered in the future. Certainly there's a need for a quorum, and I understand the concerns of the chair, but when I'm told, and I believe Senator Dankworth is told, that we should not seek to be excused, and then we're called to task for that same reason, I think it's very unfair, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Dankworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask for personal privilege to the floor on the same subject.
You have the privilege, sir.
I think Senator Rohde probably covered my feelings well, so I won't repeat a lot of that. I was deeply disappointed, Mr. President, when I heard that Senator Rohde and myself were responsible for this Senate not moving on Friday. You certainly were aware that I wasn't going to be here and had at least a day to 2 days' notice that I wouldn't be here. I came to you the day on Thursday before this session ended and said, Senator, or Mr. President, I think I should probably go ahead and be excused. And I explained to you the strategy at the time that with these coastal zone management bills coming up this morning, I was waitlisted on Sunday night, and I wanted Mrs. Sturgiluski to be able to call the Senate if necessary this morning until we got here to get the votes to pass her bill. You agreed to that, and you were aware of it. And then when I pick up the paper and see that suddenly my colleagues are upset because we took off unannounced, I was deeply disappointed both in your statements and the fact that that wasn't explained to them. I certainly did the same as Senator Rohde. We spent 6 or 7 hours on a very important meeting in Anchorage, and much more than was put in had we stayed here. But what's ironic about it too, Mr. President, this so-called leadership that we have here in the Senate, we excuse the chairman of the Finance Committee, the vice chairman of the Finance Committee, the chairman of Resources, the chairman of Rules, the majority leader, the chairman of Labor and Management, and then we blame Rohde and Dankworth for the Senate not running. I think you were in error, and I think you owe us an apology. Thank you.
Senator Dankworth, Senator Rohde, you have my apology. You certainly were not any more out of order. My anger was really partly my own fault. I do not believe we'll be okaying any committee hearings during the weekdays for the rest of this session. I expected a quorum. There were several that were due back. And it was very disappointing to get find that you not only didn't have a quorum, but some bills had arrived statutorily late. It probably was an intemperate thing. I nevertheless don't expect to be caught without a quorum again this session. But you too certainly have my apology.
Mr. President, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Senator Sturgiluski.
Yes, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed under special orders to address the body on a matter of concern not only to Anchorage, but I think to the broader medical services of the state.
You have the floor.
Fine, thank you. I think what I saw, part of a saga of a classic case of the government, federal government saying, do as I say and not as I do this weekend. I attended on Saturday a meeting that was held by the South Central Health Planning Agency, and it had to do with the proposed Alaska hospital sale. It was a tremendously emotional meeting, and I think some good things came out of it. But if I could, since the Alaska Hospital Association is meeting here, and I know you'll be hearing about it this week, I'd like to just very briefly go over what did happen. The Alaska Hospital and Medical Center is a 199-bed general hospital that's owned by the community through a nonprofit association that's governed by a five-member board of trustees. There's a major mortgage on the facility that's held by the Alaska Teamster Employer Pension Trust. The trustees of that pension trust are legally obligated to make prudent investments. The U.S. Department of Labor, through ERISA, the Employment Retirement Income Security Act, has expressed a concern, and I guess more than that, that the hospital as one investment may not be prudent in that it has made a few payments to the mortgage holder. But here's where we get into this classic case of the federal government, do as I say, not as I do. It's necessary when a community adds beds to go through the Health Systems Planning Agency. It is not, however, necessary, apparently, to go through that process when beds are removed from the community, and that's what kind of gets us into the problem. There are discussions that are going on underway in Washington right now that might make funding available for purchase of the hospital as a replacement for the aging Alaska Native Medical Center. That was built, the Public Health Service Hospital, many years ago and was primarily used as a TB facility, and it's undergone a lot of modifications over the years. Unfortunately, during all of this, that study being carried out by the Indian Health Service, there's been a storm of controversy growing in the community from a lot of different parts, and there's been no way to focalize it really, or for people, if you will, to get in on the whole action. There are some 450 jobs at the Alaska Hospital, people concerned about it, concerned about losing a professional staff when all of this is going on. So, as I say, it was a very emotional meeting, but I think a lot of things came out of it that are positive and possibly point some directions to solving a couple of the issues. And I think the issues need to be kept separate. One is the need for that hospital to function well as an integral part of the medical community, not only for Anchorage, but for many people in the outlying areas. The second is the alleged need, or the need to possibly replace or bring up to date the facilities that exist for the Public Health Service. But some things came out of it. First of all, there's some good dialogue that's developing between the Native Health Board and the Anchorage Medical Society. Frankly, I think that's long overdue, and it's certainly to be encouraged. I think there's a commitment by a very substantial number of physicians and public in the Anchorage area that there needs to be a healthy Alaska hospital. The Anchorage Municipal Assembly has intervened in that. Assemblywoman Jane Anvik and Lydia Selkrig are heading up a task force to look into it. And this may or may not be a matter that the state legislature gets involved in, possibly through the state hospital bonding authority, but it's one I think you should be aware of. It's a little bit like the medical malpractice situation. When that happened, the medical systems tended to break down, and I think we want to avoid seeing that happen in the Anchorage community. So I think it was good that there was a public meeting. It's unfortunate that the public couldn't have been brought in at an appropriate time rather than after a whole lot of hostility and difficulties had arisen. Thank you.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I'd like the privilege of the floor to make a few comments on absenteeism.
You have the floor, sir.
Well, Mr. President, I think it is incumbent on every member of this body, when they expect to be absent from a regularly scheduled meeting, to make that absent request from the floor. We have in the past, and I've done it as well as everybody else, more or less been part and party to informal agreements, etc. But I think that it's shown now that that system can no longer work, and there are people who are interested in some of the programs or some of the bills or requests that come in front of this body in regular sequence. They want those things to move at a comfortable pace. Surely, I can't find fault with the two members that have spoken, and I commend you for giving your apologies to them. But I would suggest that in the future, that anybody wishing to absent themselves, in order to give the rest of us the same cordiality or the same respect that we would give them, to make their absences known from the floor of the House, from the floor of the Senate, when they expect to be absent.
Thank you, Senator Ray. I consider it basically my fault. I should not have allowed a standing committee to hold a hearing during the weekday in any place other than the capital city. If a member has to return, be it to speak to the Chamber of Commerce or a group in his district, certainly that should be he should be excused for that. I don't really have any trouble with it. This one was unfortunate, and I take responsibility for it. Senator Curtula?
Mr. President, of course, I would admonish you that the late Winston Churchill said, never, never change your mind except for reasons of good sense. And I think that there will be exceptions, as you well know, we all know. I didn't go today, Mr. President, because I was somewhat distressed over the Friday fracas, and I think everybody should get an excuse from the call of the House. It's been a long-standing, if anything had a tradition here, it was that. And nonetheless, we've all negotiated exceptions to that rule. But again, I had an important call this morning, and I didn't have the opportunity to ask for excuse from the call of the House on Friday. I think the majority leader, the minority leader, the president, the leadership also, whoever they may be, all should excuse themselves from a call of the House, and every member here should.
Announcement of committee meeting?
Mr. President.
Senator Holman.
Legislative Council, Tuesday, that's tomorrow afternoon, March 18th at 4 p.m., Senate Finance Chambers, to hear Milton Lipton and Richard Kilgore. Also this afternoon at 1:30 in Senate Finance Chambers, we have a free conference committee meeting on Senate Bill 161 scheduled. That's for the discussion, markup, and public input. Tomorrow, same time, March 18th, same subject, Senate Finance Chambers. And Friday, I might point out to the membership, is our final meeting of this free conference committee. The place is Senate Finance Chambers, 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. The purpose is to report out the bill or to dissolve the conference committee. That's on the schedule that we announced 6 weeks ago or so. Tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m., we will discuss Senate Concurrent Resolution 55 in Senate Finance, Senate Concurrent Resolution 55, urging the Department of Revenue to rescind its ruling relating to the taxation of flight crew members. Senate Bill 512, continuing the existence of the Alaska Transportation Commission. Also, there will be the final part of the presentation by Wallace G. Miller of Miller & Associates on the subject of capital projects analyses, subport building, employee housing, Ketchikan jail completion, Casilla hatchery modifications, and firefighting projects. We have a Legislative Budget and Audit Committee meeting scheduled for this afternoon at 4:30 in the House Finance Committee room.
Senator Bennett.
Resources will meet this afternoon in the Buttrevich room at 1:30, Senate Bill 289, the hall room.
Senator Bradley.
Mr. President, the Senate Commerce Committee will convene at 3 p.m. tomorrow. for the purpose of holding a public confirmation hearing on the appointees that were within the purview of the Commerce Committee, and for discussing the following Senate joint resolutions relating to the Alaska Power Project: SJR 46, Bond Indebtedness, Golden Valley; SJR 47, Bond Indebtedness, Tie Lake Project; SJR 48, Bond Indebtedness, Swan Lake Project; SJR 55, our bond in debts, power lines, Juneau; SJR 56, bond debts, Cordova Electric Corporation, Inc.; SJR 57, bond debts, Matanuska Electric Association; SJR 58, bond debts, Home Electric Association; SJR 59, bond debts, MacNeck Electric Association. The meeting will be held in the Belton Room. Will be teleconference to all networks within the state.
President Stanbees.
Order. Senator Mulcahy.
Are we still under committee announcements?
We're still under committee announcements, sir.
State Affairs will meet this afternoon at 3:30. We'll be considering SB 477, SB 479, SB 499, and SB 519. Late Friday, we added to the announced agenda last week HB 950. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Revenue and providing partial interest payments on municipal bonds as a general fund subsidy to local government. And with that also will be heard this afternoon, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Senator Hackney.
Mr. President, Health, Education, and Social Services Committee at 3 o'clock, Senate Bill 276, Visitation Rights to Grandparents, Senate Bill 320. Authorizing medical assistance for general relief, Senate Bill 322. Authorizing the payment of services for Medicaid eligible persons, Senate Concurrent Resolution 45. Research and support activities in Beryl, Senate Concurrent Resolution 48. Continuation of satellite television, Senate Concurrent Resolution 54. Marine sanitation, and Senate Bill 522. Enacting and entering the Compact for Education.
Thank you, sir. Senator Sturgill.
Mr. President, I think I might miss that meeting. I can't believe it. Community Regional Affairs tomorrow, Tuesday, 1:30, Butrovich, big teleconference, SB 370, act relating to fire prevention, SB 450, an act making appropriation to the Legislative Council for a study of local options for control of the Fairbanks International Airport.
Are there any further announcements?
Other unfinished business, I'd like to remind the body that the Skyhawkers basketball team with the legislators is going to be next Friday, March the 22nd, 8 p.m. in the high school gym. So maybe some of us would want to start loosening up and getting in shape. It's going to be a piece of cake.
Well, I hear, considering the skill you've acquired, it probably won't be any trouble for you at all.
We just lost it.
Well, we're still under announcements with the committee chairmen that are here today meet with us in the Butrovich Room just immediately upon adjournment, just for a few minutes. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent Senate adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Senate stands to adjournment. Patrick.